This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer. Scott Simon is on assignment this week.
Thanks to the courage and the might of our military, the American people are more secure. Thanks to the courage and might of our military, the Iraqi people are now free.
President George Bush, speaking Wednesday at a Boeing production facility in St. Louis, Missouri. NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore joins us. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Linda, and welcome aboard.
Thank you, thank you. Yesterday, Dan, in Baghdad, tens of thousands of protesters poured out of mosques after Friday prayers, demanding that U.S. troops leave Iraq. They called for an Islamic State. And this comes after last week's media blitz of Iraqis cheering American soldiers. Mm-hmm. Antithetical images?
Well, the role of the liberator often turns out to be more messy than messianic. And you give a long repressed people a voice, and next thing they're using it to yell at you. What's interesting about these demonstrations outside the mosques yesterday was that they united the majority Shiites with the once ruling Sunnis, who are a minority, in favor of an Islamic State. It's kind of hard to tell how much of all Iraq is represented by these demonstrators, although they did number in the tens of thousands. It does seem clear that the liberation honeymoon may be one of the shorter honeymoons.
What about this looting, massive looting, swept Iraq since the fall of Saddam Hussein? Even museums and hospitals. We hear that it may be dying down now in Baghdad. Could Allied troops have prevented the problem altogether?
Well, probably not altogether. Baghdad is a city of 5 million people, and not even a force of 200,000, which had a lot of other responsibilities, could have prevented some looting. However, the State Department had been repeatedly warned by scholars of the danger to these priceless artifacts that go back 10,000 years. They're not just Iraqi part of their heritage, but part of the whole world heritage. The American forces had not responded to the warning. At one point, an Iraqi archaeologist on the ground got a Marine tank to come and fire over the heads of a looting mob. They began to disperse, and the tank went away, and the looters returned. Now, the administration tended to brush this off, the whole thing as not being not terribly important. But when they saw that this story was getting a lot of attention, and taking attention away from the pictures of the Iraqi kids throwing flowers to American GIs, they finally reacted. Guess what? The FBI is now sending a dozen or so agents to help Interpol with the investigation.
What about the status of the interim administration in Iraq that's being assembled by retired General Jay Garner?
Well, yeah, that's right. Now, it's General Garner, who is a defense contractor himself, is supposed to run a military administration and deal with the most immediate problems, like water supply, which is not yet fully back, electric power, which is only back in some places, and the basic health needs, because the hospitals will be stripped by looters. In the absence of any real authority, there's that vacuum, and he is the only government there is. But with the demonstrators already demanding that Americans get out, he will be under some pressure to leave as soon as he can, as soon as he can finish his job. And that depends in part on how fast the Iraqi political parties, some of which had worked underground during the Saddam regime and who had met in the Big Tent last week, how soon they can organize and constitute their own Iraqi authority. Until then, General Garner is the government.
The Secretary of State, the U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell, has said the United Nations will have a vital role in the building of Iraq. What's that role likely to be?
Very hard to say, because he said that it was a question of whether he said we'll have a vital role or the vital role, and a vital role seems to be what it is. And what is clear is we're going to have another big mess, because in order to get anything else done, you have to start lifting sanctions. The sanctions declared against Saddam Hussein are still in effect now that Saddam Hussein is not there. To lift sanctions, you need a UN resolution, or it can, if you have one, it can be vetoed by the French, as they might very well do. And so they're going to get into that kind of mess before you can lift the sanctions. And then, until that time, we're not really sure what can be done by the outside world other than by what the United States and the Britain choose to do.
The San Francisco-based Bechtel Group has been awarded the major contract for rebuilding Iraq.
$680 million.
Some people question the Bush administration's selection process. These are old political friends. Could there be some kind of political backlash?
Well, you never know what's... I mean, this was done without very much bidding. There was no open bidding. A small group of companies were invited, no foreign companies, not even British companies being allied. The Bechtel Corporation has long had very close ties with the Republicans. Top officials in Bechtel in former years were George Shultz, former Secretary of State, Caspar Weinberger, former Secretary of Defense, and it will be criticized. And it's very hard to say whether that is really part of the game. After all, the United States was played the leading role in tearing down the regime, so why shouldn't they have the leading role in building up the new one?
Dan, today U.S. troops captured Iraq's former finance minister. He was one of the figures depicted on that deck of illustrated playing cards that soldiers are using to identify wanted Iraqi officials. 5 of the 55 are now in custody. How would you characterize that process so far?
Well, you know, they have this deck of cards, and the former finance minister who has now been captured. Let me see if I can pronounce his name. I may not be able. Samir Abd El Aziz Al Najirn.
Bravo.
How about that? And he apparently was fairly close to Saddam Hussein, and therefore may be very important. But what may be more important is now the surrender of a technician who dealt with the nerve gas program. So, yeah, I think that one by one they're getting them. The real problem is that the ones that the United States wants, several of them are probably in Syria. That seemed to be the route of escape for most of them, maybe even for people closer to the family of Saddam Hussein. And that raises a whole new problem with Syria. If they're there, how we can get them surrendered from Syria?
Delegates from 8 Gulf nations are meeting in Riyadh this weekend, and they have denounced U.S. allegations that Syria is doing anything of the kind. They're also calling on the U.S. to withdraw from Iraq as quickly as possible. Is this regional posturing? Is it something more?
Well, yes, because here you have an Arab country more or less being run now by the United States. And if you are running an Arab government like Saudi Arabia, you have to take that position. Please get out as soon as possible, although I imagine that behind that, I hope it won't be too soon.
Dan, let's move on to Israel. In Israel, Prime Minister Ariel Sharon has agreed to take steps toward negotiating peace with the Palestinians, and he says that he will meet with the new Palestinian prime minister and that Israel may need to withdraw from some West Bank settlements and perhaps settlements in Gaza. Are these new developments part of the roadmap for peace that we've heard about? Is this related to the war in Iraq?
Well, it's related to very much to the roadmap for peace, although they don't specifically talk about that. And it may very well be, as happened last time after the Gulf War, that an opening for peace between the Palestinians and the Israelis was created by victory in that part of the world. That yet could happen. And the fact that Prime Minister Sharon may be for the first time willing to talk about withdrawing some Jewish settlements may be quite significant.
Let's jump to North Korea. Leaders have agreed to meet next week with American and Chinese officials in Beijing to discuss North Korea's nuclear program. But there's confusion today over a recent statement from North Korea that the nation is reprocessing spent fuel rods.
Not enough time yet to explain a very complicated situation. In part, it's a question of how you translate a North Korean statement which indicates that they either are or are just threatening to reprocess fuel rods in order to make nuclear weapons. Also the fact that they wanted a unilateral meeting or a direct meeting with the Americans and found the Chinese there, so now they're saying the Chinese can only be the host and not participate. So life goes on with North Korea.
Quickly, Dan, what do you think about SARS? The Chinese have said that it's probably more widespread than they thought and that urging greater honesty in reporting the spread of the illness. This could be a very big story if it weren't for Iraq.
It had, indeed, it's a big story anyway. And had China not for a long time withheld that information, we might all be in better shape.
Thanks very much, Dan.